were asked to come to Moshi, Tanzania and speak for a week at a Bible college there. And while there in Moshi, we stayed with Steve and Ann Street, who were British missionaries, have been there many, many years, still there, serving the Lord faithfully. And while with them, we met their son, Peter, and his wife, Mary, and just so encouraged by their dedication to the Lord, their service, their ministry, so inspired by their vision. And they have come to New York. Peter's from, you know, is British also. Mary is from California. But they have come to America for 3 months, is it? 3 months to reconnect and cultivate relationships here in the States. And so their trip was from Tanzania to Maine, and then where they rented a vehicle, drove here to New York. Then they're driving to North Carolina, then South Carolina, then Florida, then Texas, then flying to Colorado, then flying to California. I forgot Louisiana in there, with their four children. So these are dedicated people serving the Lord, and as much as they've sacrificed, I can tell you they're as rich a family as I've ever met, because God has just poured out such blessing on this family. And so I want to ask you to give a, I want you to stand and welcome. Waiting for Peter? All right. I'll tell you what we're going to do first. I'll tell you what. Have a seat. They've got a video. Tim, why don't you douse the lights a little bit up front here? And we're going to see the vision of their ministry.
Guys. guys so much. Love you. God bless.
Recognize any of those people? Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. We've been so blessed here in the United States of America. And so I just ask you to open your heart and give a warm welcome to Mary and Peter Street. Come on down.
Good morning. Memkaje leo jamani. Kuna mtu yote hapa ambaye ananielewa vizuri? No one understanding me? Come on. Sandy? Thank you guys for welcoming us here this morning. That was Swahili I was speaking. I'm not used to technology. Oh yeah, I said, how did you guys wake up this morning? To which I normally respond on my back, but that's not how you're meant to respond. You're meant to respond well, no matter if you're dying or not. In Swahili culture, you have to say, I'm good. And then you say, but. Then you tell them what's really happening. I'm Peter, this is my beautiful wife, Mary. Thank you so much for letting us share this morning. Some of you might know, but you can hear I have a strange accent. I was born in Scotland. I grew up, when I was five, my parents moved to Tanzania as missionaries. And they're still there serving the Lord. Yeah, I'm very thankful for them and for how they raised me and for the ministry that they're doing there. And yeah, Sandy and Jack actually met them first and stayed with them when they first came to Tanzania, and then we met them at my parents' place. So Mary's actually going to preach today, but I wanted to just share something that God had put on my heart. Pastor Jack said, you know, welcome us like kings this morning, and I just wanted to share, Mary's been to Bible school and experienced amazing moves of God. I grew up as a missionary kid in Tanzania. I haven't been to Bible school. And so I sometimes don't feel like this king, as you put it. I don't feel like this amazing servant of God that God's commissioned me and he's sent me on the mission field. I just feel like a normal guy, just being obedient to what God has told me to do. And I just want to encourage you, how many of you are fathers here today? Yeah? I know we're a week away from Father's Day, but I'm a father of four, a handful. To the fathers, that's your first mission field. Everybody in here is a missionary. You don't have to have a big call of God on your life and be sent to a foreign country. Right where you are, in your home, and in your workplace, that is the mission field that God has given you. And you need to be obedient and faithful in that calling that God has given you. If he gives you a call to go somewhere else, awesome, obey. But to the fathers, your kids, that's your first mission, and your wife. And to the mothers, how many mothers here? Yeah. I know a lot of mothers think, oh, I'm not doing much for the Lord, I'm not called to this or that. Raising your kids in a godly way, that is the greatest calling you could be given. And to be obedient to that, God will honor you. And he's already storing up many crowns in heaven for that. So I guess from where I'm coming from, you don't have to go to Bible school. It's good to go to Bible school. But God takes the unlikely people, and he uses them. You know, what doesn't seem fit in the world's eyes, God can use, and it's a perfect piece in his puzzle. So I just want to encourage each one of you, even the young guys, God has a calling on your life, and you need to start seeking him and asking him, Lord, what do you want me to do? Even in my school, in my classroom, what can I do? What can I do to serve you today? What's the calling that you've put on my life? Because he has one on each one of you. Even if you just think, I'm retired, I don't have a calling. No, you got a calling. Who's around you? Who's your neighbors? Who do you talk to every single day? You can ask Holy Spirit every day, what do you want me to speak to this guy today? Random guy met in the supermarket. Nothing is random with God. He has a purpose for it. Say, Lord, this wasn't a chance meeting. What do you want me to speak to them today? What do you want to sow into their life today? So I want to encourage each one of you. So I'm actually way more comfortable preaching in Swahili. That's normally what I do. Mary's the fiery preacher, so I'm letting her bring the fire. But I want to encourage each one of you that you don't have to be some famous missionary who's been to Bible school and has a degree. You just need to be obedient to the call of God upon your life. Yeah, no matter what environment or situation you're in, nothing happens by mistake in God's world, in God's kingdom. So I will hand you over to the fiery preacher.
My goodness, now I have to live up to something. Oh, well, it's wonderful to be here with everybody. We're excited to be back here in Leroy, and I'm excited to be with all of you here at Living Waters Church. It blesses my heart so much, our hearts so much, to be here with you, because you guys are a partner church in sowing into what you saw on that video. You guys have stakes in the ground in Tanzania, and the Lord is using this place out of Leroy to build a house of hope there. And I think it's so amazing that you guys are also calling your place Hope Center, right? Hope Center. I think that's totally awesome. There's something to that in the spiritual realm, I feel like. And God is definitely knitted our hearts together, and we absolutely love Pastor Jack and Sandy, and we loved having Amy and Valerie and all of you that were with us in Tanzania, Heidi, she's not in here right now, Lizzie. We loved having you guys with us there in Tanzania. And how many of you guys would love to come to Tanzania someday? Look at it. Wait, keep your hands up. Look at all these hands around here. Look at all these hands. You see, God is not beyond being able to get you the money and get you on that airplane and get you to Tanzania. You know that? God is not beyond that. Sometimes you think, oh my goodness, I know. Listen to what she's saying, but I know what I make. She doesn't know how much money I make. But you know what? God is saying, don't look with your natural eyes. Look with the eyes of the Spirit. Because when you look with the eyes of the Spirit, his kingdom and the finances in his kingdom are bigger than what we can even imagine. If we had the time, I could stand up here and tell you story after story of how the Lord has provided financially for us. I mean, there are times where, you know, we're on a faith-to-faith basis. What do you call it? We get a paycheck every month. Once a month we get a paycheck, but it's faith-based. So some months you could have $500, some months you could have $1,000, some months you could have $2,000. You don't know fully what's going to come in. People have in their hearts to give and make faith promises to give this amount, and you believe for that amount every month, but then it doesn't sometimes come through. However, on the flip side, again, you don't look with the eyes of the natural. You look with the eyes of the Spirit, and we see that God moves and God comes through in other kinds of ways. And it's so amazing, but I won't get into all that because that is another story for another day. And but I want you to believe that the Lord, if it's in your heart, God's put it there. You know why? Because God loves to give good gifts to his children. How many believe that? God loves to give good gifts to his children. And the Bible tells us, the word tells us, if you ask for bread, he's not going to give you. Say that again. If you ask for bread, he's not going to give you. Why? Because he's a... Say that again. Say that like you mean it. Thank you, Amy. He is a good... I love that. He's a good, good father. She put passion in that. That's right. He is a good, good father. He's a good, good father. And you know what? His goodness is all over this place right now today. And we just declare his goodness over this service as we move on. And we just thank you, Jesus, for everyone that's sitting in this seat. And may you just continue to open up the heavens over everyone's heads and pour in today as we move forward. Thank you, Father. So I have a few things that I would like to do today before we get started. Now, how many, I like to always give away things, a few things at each place we go, so that when you look at them, you can remember us. You can pray for us. You can pray for the ministry in Tanzania. This is made out of banana leaves. It's a pitcher made of banana leaves, dried banana leaves, that different artists do there in Tanzania. Who would like this? Now, see, I always go for the first hand that gets raised. You were fast and you were on it, so here you go. Okay, so... I also have this little keychain right here. It's a little sandal, and I always like to think of it as, wherever you walk, when you step into a place, the kingdom of heaven lives inside of you, and you have the ability to change the atmosphere around you as you step into that place. So who would like this little girl right here? This is the second time her hand went up before I even got into that. So I want to give this to you, sweetie. Here you go. You remember all the way from Tanzania, Africa. You remember that. Okay, I still have another goodie on me. Now, this is made out of ebony, this bracelet right here. We've got some bracelets in the back made out of ebony. And this, it's really cool. I love these wooden bracelets. And this right here with your broken foot, but being healed in Jesus' name, is for you. All right? So... Who in here, who loves praying? Just like you are an intercessor and you love praying. And God takes you into what, how many saw that movie called The War Room? Oh, it was so amazing. How many have set up war rooms of your own? A few of you. How many, who loves to pray? Who God takes you into that secret place and you pray? I have here a... Tanzanian flag. This is what our flag looks like. So I've got a Tanzania flag. Who would like this to pray? There you go, right here in the back. Tanzania, and I know you will. I know you will. God uses people. I know people like you, especially when I get older people like you that say that they'll pray. I hold on to that tightly because, you know, we're trying to build up our team of intercessors. I mean, we need it over there. And we're trying to build up our team of intercessors. And you know what? The Lord showed me this vision one time. You know, the spiritual realm is just as real as the very breath that you're breathing in front of you and that's coming out of your mouth. How many know that? Some of you know it. How many can say, I know it in my mind, but sometimes it's hard for me to really know it in my heart? How many can say that? I know it in my mind, but sometimes it's hard for me to know it in my heart. You know, I've been there, and the Lord has taken me on a journey to get me to that place of really understanding him and the Spirit in a greater, greater measure. And how many want to hear a story before we get started? Not that, I guess it was about a year ago, I had an experience with the Lord. I was sometime in the early morning hours, I woke up. It's kind of like I woke up. I wasn't fully asleep. How many dream sometimes when you're in that state of you're not fully asleep, but you're kind of awake, you're alert of kind of what's going around, but you're not fully asleep. So I had this experience with the Lord, and it was kind of like I was Superwoman, and... I saw myself in this room, and then I saw this wall that was kind of like liquid. And there was a curiosity in me, what is beyond that wall? And I went like this, like Superman or Superwoman would do. And I started going through that wall. And I got halfway to waist deep. I got halfway through that wall. And as I looked in, there was just this small room, kind of light-colored walls, but a little, it's like if you were in a small room with a dimly lit lamp. There was a small room, and I saw this older lady, kind of like that old image of Pentecostal. Yeah, she had a bun and everything. She was in a skirt. But she was sitting on this small couch. There was a lamp lit. She was sitting on this small couch, and she was knitting. And her knitting needles were gold. And on each of the needles, one said truth on one side, and one said justice on the other. And I saw her mouth moving like she was praying in the spirit, and my heart instantly knew she was an intercessor. She was praying, and just praying. She was just knitting. Now she's sitting there, she's just praying. I knew she was an intercessor, and she was interceding. And I so bad in my spirit wanted to hear what she was saying. It was like I knew in my spirit if I went through completely, I would be able to hear what she was saying. But a fear came over me, and I was afraid, and it was like I looked back, and I had this thought all of a sudden, if I go through that wall, what if I can't come back? And what if I can't see my husband and my children again? And when I had that thought, instantly I woke up. I came to. And my room was like electric, and I knew that that was a God encounter. And I knew that I had missed an opportunity to go deeper into something that was in the spiritual realm, supernatural. See, the Spirit of God is all around us. The kingdom of heaven is so near to us. The very breath that we breathe, it's like that's how close the kingdom of heaven is. And sometimes we say, God, where are you? What's going on? Da, da, da. The kingdom of heaven is near. So I want to encourage you with that story. God is taking you deeper. Someone in here needed to hear that. I don't know why, but somebody in here needed to hear that. You're coming into a place where you're crying out for more of God, and God wants to take you deeper, and the Lord is saying, do not fear what I have for you. Don't fear what I have for you. There's only greatness in Him. Amen? All right. Okay. So, moving on. This is our, in the back, you'll see a table that we have back there. We've got a lot of stuff that is for sale. It helps offset our costs while traveling, gas in our car, and hotel rooms and things like that, because we've got a lot of traveling to do still. And so if you want to buy things, we have a lot of fun things, earrings, purses, little pouches, bracelets, bags, handbags, even figurines. Everything you see out there is for sale if you want it. So we also have these faith promise cards. If you're interested in supporting us on a monthly basis, because we're also looking for that people that can support on a monthly basis, if you're interested in supporting us, come talk to us afterwards. We also, if you'd like our newsletters as well, come sign up in the back. We have a sign-up sheet. If you're interested in being an intercessor specifically for us in Tanzania, sign up on our newsletter and put a little star by your name, all right? And we'll be personally writing you back as well. So come visit our table in the back after you're done. So how many saw some of this stuff already coming in? You saw? Do you like it? Hey, I think they kind of like it. All right. So thank you, Jesus. I want everyone just to stand up real quick. Just put your hands up in the air. And just say, Father, thank you for your visitation today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening my mind, opening my ears, opening my eyes to see you, ears to hear you, and my heart to receive you. Now I want you to yell as loud as you can the word freedom.
Freedom!
Oh, that was good. Thank you, Jesus. Sit down. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 3. How many know much about Jeremiah in the Bible? Yeah. Jeremiah was known as, does anyone know what he was known as? The weeping prophet. Yes, he carried the burden of the Lord. He was known as the weeping prophet. When I was praying about you guys and what the Lord wanted to speak today, he gave me Jeremiah, specifically verse 17, but we're going to read through starting at 17. He gave me that, and he gave me the words, a liberated heart. A liberated heart. So if you want to put a title on it, you can say a liberated heart if you want to. But that's what the Lord gave me, a liberated heart. And I was looking up the definition of liberation, liberated, and the Greek word for it is eleutheros. Theros means to liberate or to exempt, deliver, to make free. If you Google it, one of the definitions says freed from imprisonment, slavery, or enemy occupation. That's what it says for a liberate. So a liberated heart. So Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 17. Turn with me over to verse 17. How many are there? Yeah? This says, at that time Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. No more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts. And in those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. And they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given as an inheritance to your fathers. But I said, how can I put you among the children and give you a pleasant land, a beautiful heritage of the hosts of the nations? And I said, you shall call me my father and not turn away from me. We'll go to read verse 20. Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me. O house of Israel, says the Lord, a voice was heard on the desolate heights, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord, their God. See, what was Jeremiah talking about in this passage? They had been accustomed to their old religious ceremonial ways here, the children of Israel, which they were full of, used to doing their rites, their different religious rites, their godless forms, you know, doing their godless forms in their worship, as you'd say. And God says that when he brings his sinful people back to himself, they'll turn away from all those godless acts of what's nothing but what? Mere religion. Was mere religion. And they'll come to worship him in spirit and in truth. And to commune with him without the medium, I guess you could call it, of the Ark of the Covenant or the priests. And that is the children of Israel. I mean, they knew God, but they had forsaken him in a sense. And how many can say, I've been at that place too before in my life where I've known God, but sometimes I've forsaken him. And I don't mean turning around and doing even like awful sins and stuff, although some of us have done that, but I'm talking about like even just different things, getting in a rut, getting in a religious rut, going to church every single Sunday. And, it's like you're not really walking in the freedom. You're not really walking in and having a liberated heart in him. Your heart has walls around it, and you're not truly free. I've been there. I'm going to tell you another story about myself. How many want to hear a story? I'm going to tell you a story. You know, I was part of what was called the Brownsville Revival. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the Brownsville Revival, but I was a part of that revival. I actually was in another denomination. I was in a denomination. I had pretty much grown up in that denomination. And somebody had come to the Bible college that I was going to with this tape and said, you guys have got to watch this. And so we watched it, and there was some women shaking on these girls, young girls actually shaking, and they were under the power of God. And I had seen shaking, and I seen people fall out in the spirit at summer camp. I seen people talk in tongues at summer camp. And once in a while in my church growing up, there was one lady who would often stand up and speak in tongues and have a word from the Lord. She was the only one that could translate it as well. And I had seen those things only there, but I had never actually experienced them for myself. And summer camp, I loved going to summer camp because it was out of the norm. And anyway, they gave the tape, and I'm telling you, the glory of God came into that room. And it was myself and two other friends watching it, and we fell to our knees just crying and weeping under the conviction of God. And we said, we have got to go to that place. I don't care how long it takes us to drive. We've got to go to that place. We got in our car, my friend's car. We skipped classes. We got in our car. We packed our bags. We didn't even know where we were going to stay. We got in our car and drove 17 hours to get to this place. When we arrived onto the campus of this place, there was lines wrapping around the street to get into the services at nighttime. And I said, what is going on? What is this? And all of a sudden, this fear gripped me. And I was afraid to go into that church building. And I said, I'm not going in there. I told them that. And they said, oh, no, we've driven this far. You're going. And so reluctantly, I went in. And I didn't know it at the time, but we got what I called the nosebleed section. And we were way up in the balcony that evening in the service. And I just, at the time of the altar call, people were running, literally jumping over seats and stuff to get to the altar. The conviction power of God came into the room. People were weeping, wailing, crying, just like this passage talks about. They were crying out for God, the conviction of their sins. And a lot of them had been churchgoers their entire life. It's not like they were drug addicts coming off the street. It's not like they were alcoholics or anything else. They weren't prostitutes. They were people, normal people, what we would call normal. And they had normal, what we would call normal sins. But how many know sin is sin? Sin is sin. And they were running to the altars. And I thought, my goodness, what is this? And I sat there like this scared sheep, the scared lamb, just watching everything. And the evangelist and the pastors, they came off the altar, from the stage, and they began laying hands on people, and people were falling out under the power of God. Power of God. We're talking about even people in three-piece suits that were businessmen that I saw watching the service standing against the wall like this. And then all of a sudden, God would just hit them with the power of God. I saw people like that that got hit with the power of God, and nobody even laid hands on them. The glory of God would come into that place. Fast forward into night three. Finally, I came and I said, okay, God. I said, if this is really you, I give you my mind, my body, my spirit, my soul. Prove to me that this is you. Those were my words to God. Prove to me that this is you. I kept my eyes closed. People were talking around us before the service started. Kept my eyes closed. I was sitting in the pew. And this time, we did not get nosebleed seats. We got down closer. We were on the floor area. And I was sitting there with my eyes closed. The music started, and I kept my eyes closed because I didn't want anyone to talk to me. I didn't want anything to interrupt. Like, I was really at this desperate place in my heart. God, I want this. I want this to be real, but I want to know that this is really you. I need to know that this is really you. You know, I had been raised so much in this denomination. Not that it's wrong to be a part of a denomination, but I had put God in a box. And so I was like that with my hand, with my eyes closed. I was just like, God, if this is really you, if this is really you, just prove yourself to me. And I'm saying this just in my mind to the Lord. And all of a sudden, my right hand began to shake. I thought, what is this? And I grabbed my hand and to my chest. And when I did that, my second hand began to shake. And then they just began to shake violently under the power of God. Just shook violently. I'd never had anything like that in my life happen to me. And then all of a sudden, I heard like this, you can only explain it, like a mighty rushing wind. I heard, and it was like, have you ever seen those cartoons where like maybe a villain or somebody or superhero throws like a powerball or something, and it just goes, that's what it was like. It was like that in the spirit. It went, and something just hit me here and went through my whole body. And I just fell to the floor. And I remember screaming, Jesus! And fell backwards. And God began just convicting me of where I was in my heart and everything. And the Lord took me into this place of intercession I'd never, ever experienced before. And he showed me visions of hell and people going to hell. And then he took me to this mountaintop. This angel took me to the mountaintop, to this mountaintop, and I saw fields of wheat. And I saw hands of all different colors coming out of the fields of wheat crying out for help. And God became so real to me, like I'd never known him before. I'd never known him before in that place. The realness of who he is. And I, few days later, years later, I was, it was about 1 year later, a split happened, and I was still going to that church where the revival was, but I was part of the Bible school, because the Bible school split, and I was part of the Bible school, and I was singing in the choir that morning at church, and I said, God, what is going on? I just don't feel joy. I don't know why I don't fully feel joy, and I came out of the choir loft, went and sat down, and the Lord spoke three things to me. He said, you've put the pastor on a stool. Because he reminded you of your old pastor that you grew up under in the denomination. And he said, Mary, where does your heart lie? Does it lie in me? Does it lie in a denomination? Where does your heart really lie? And that moment, it was like God took the carpet out from under me. Because I was so just sold to the denomination I grew up in. The Lord took that carpet right out of me and said, you know what? My church is not about a denomination. My church is about the bride of Christ, and I'm going to raise her up, and she will become one bride, and she will worship me in spirit and in truth. And here in Jeremiah, Jeremiah is prophesying that these, you know, if you go down to verse 21, a cry is heard on the barren heights, the weeping and the pleading of the people of Israel, because they have perverted their ways and have forgotten the Lord their God. They're crying out. They were crying out. He began to see that in the spirit, that Israel would come to this place and they would begin to cry out for truth and cry out in repentance for not putting their fullness of heart and trust in the Lord. And some of us need to come to that place where we will cry out and say, God, I've become too stuck in one place. I'm not moving forward with you. And I want to be at that place where I can move forward. I want the deeper things of you. I want to be in the Spirit. I want to know you so intimately. I want to know you so intimately You know, the Father wants to know you intimately more than you want to know Him intimately. He wants the walls of your heart to come down. He wants to liberate you into the fullness of Him. He wants to liberate you into the fullness of Him. Let me say that again. He wants to liberate you into the fullness of Him. And some of you guys don't want to go there. Some of you are happy where you're at. But you know what? In deep inside, you're not really happy. I wasn't. I thought I was happy, but I wasn't. God wants to liberate you. You know why? Because He's got plans for His bride. He has plans for His bride. The bridegroom is calling out to his bride. He's calling out. He's calling out. Come up, come up, come up, come up, come up, come up, come up. Get yourselves ready. We are living in the greatest days right now on the earth. And I can honestly say that from my heart. Some of you may think, oh, no, we're not. I live here in America. We're not living in the greatest days. But you know what? We really are. We're living in the greatest days. The darker it gets on the earth, the brighter the church is going to shine. The darker it gets on the earth, the brighter the church is going to shine. Because the glory of God will not be shut out. We know this book from beginning to the end, and we are a victorious people. You are a victorious people. Say, I'm victorious. I'm victorious. Say it again, I'm victorious. I'm victorious. And some of you may not really believe that in your heart, but you know what? You are. You are victorious, and being victorious is only a breath away. Faith is believing in the things that we cannot see and the things hoped for. And if you really hope for true freedom and for your hearts to really be liberated in Christ, begin to step out in that realm of faith and begin to speak and declare, you know what? God is a good God. Instead of saying, God, why? I ask God those questions many times in my life. Many, many times in my life. Why? I even was so mad at God at one point in my teenager years. I was so mad at God. I had been, you know, I wasn't planning on sharing this today, but I feel like I need to. In my own life, I never knew my real father in my entire life. I never knew him until I was 15 years old. Met him again when I was 17. When my mother was pregnant with me, they separated at birth. They separated when she was pregnant with me. So at birth, I never knew him. By the time I was 2 years old, she remarried, and she married somebody that was a minister. We would travel together as a family, sing. He would preach. But in the home, he was a tyrant. He would abuse us. I would get whipped with 2x4 boards. He would take his belt buckle off and say, if you don't be quiet, I'm going to hit you harder. And so we would kneel down and bite the covers of the bed so we wouldn't scream when it hurt. When I went to Africa, I did not go to Africa to build this house of hope because of what I went through. I actually ran from it. That's the last thing I wanted to do. And then God, and when I went there in 2003, I was single. I was on the mission field 4 years single, and I was doing women's conferences, and I was teaching in Bible schools and doing different things. We even started another small Bible school there, an evangelism school, School of Evangelism. We would take teams onto the streets. We would do dramas and draw crowds of hundreds, and people would get saved. That's the kind of stuff I was doing. I was not doing a girls' home. And then the Lord brought me into this place of relationship with this young girl. And we had found her because she was at a school where I went and spoke. There was over 1,000 people. And the school was having problems with young girls who were starting to have relationships with each other. Physical relationships. This was a Catholic school. they were starting to do stuff like this, and they didn't have a grip on their students, so they invited us, and they invited a Muslim imam to speak to these girls. We were told we could not speak about Jesus. We couldn't mention the name of Jesus, but we were with another pastor, and he said, if the Holy Spirit comes on you, just do it. God will settle the rest of it. And I did not plan to share my testimony that day, but I began to share a bit of my testimony. And out of those thousands of students, the Lord brought, many came to the Lord, but God brought us one specifically. And she had been raped at gunpoint many times. Her parents had been in government, and then they both died of AIDS. Her brothers and sisters were scattered. They had had family wealth, but the uncles came in and forged signatures, signed papers, and took all the family wealth. They were left with nothing. She was one of these ones that had schooled in Norway, had been to India. She had traveled different places, and all that was stripped of her, taken from her. She was raped at gunpoint, and she got sent to another. She ran from that situation to another home where it was like an uncle and an aunt, and the brother started pursuing her and doing same things, pushing to do same things. We rescued her out of that situation. She came and lived with myself and my roommate. I was single at the time. Her name is Gaudi. She's a spiritual daughter to us. And works with us very closely, very closely. And the Lord just used her dramatically in my life. And then I begin to hear of other cases. I said, God, we cannot turn a blind eye to what's happening. We can't turn a blind eye. And I had to deal with what was going on in my own heart. I was running from that call because I didn't want people to think I was using it as a crutch for what I had went through. And God was like, I can use what you went through for my glory to build my kingdom. There's a lot of Gaudis out there. There's a lot of Marys, little Marys out there that need to be liberated, that need to be set free. And when they had heard my testimony, I mean, the Lord just touched so many people that day, and I was just amazed how God brought us the one. Because she had heard about the sexual abuse from my stepfather, who was a minister, and she'd heard about the beatings and everything else, and it touched her heart. And I said, God, if you can use this to reach other Gaudis in this nation, I'll do this for you. I'll do this. And that's how House of Hope got birthed. And it's exciting to see where the Lord is taking it. Because there are hearts, all not just Tanzania, but all over, that need to know the fullness, the freedom of God. Who He is, how He can be a father. See, I had a hard time with God. I was so angry with Him for a long time, and I couldn't understand Him as a father. I had been raised and knew Him as this king. And I really believe that one day, all of, you know, my thoughts, things that were not of the Lord, sins and everything. Like, I had an ungodly fear of who He was. That I believed that what I heard the preachers say when I was little, that my sins would be played on this movie screen when I got to heaven, you know, and that I knew Him as a judge. He is a king. He is a judge. He will be a judge. And He is a judge, but He's also a father. And He loves His children. He loves His sons and daughters, and His heart longs for nothing more than to know the intimacy of relationship with you and with Him. That's what He longs for. He longs to know that. I'm totally not even following notes that I had prepared. But He longs to know the intimacy with you and with Him. And God's taken me deeper into this place. Even since we've been in America, it's like, Lord, this is awesome. I'm excited about what you're doing. in me. Because I feel like I've gone in even deeper, even just since I've been here in America, since May 25th. 26th, we landed. I feel like I've gone in deeper, and I've overcome some hurdles of believing lies. See, the enemy speaks to us here, and we take those lies and we hold on to them. And we take them to heart like it's truth. And it's not truth. It's not the reality of who God says you are. It's not the reality of who God says I am. The reality of who you are and who I am is in the eyes of the Father. When you close and you close your eyes and you look into His eyes, look into the eyes of the Father, you will see the love that He has for you. The depth of love is unmeasurable. The depth of love that He has for you is unmeasurable. It's unmeasurable. It's unmeasurable. And God wants to take us to that place. He wants to bring us into the fullness of Him. Because when we go to that place, the walls around our hearts begin to fall off. You know, when my hands begin shaking that time, when I told you about that story, my hands begin shaking, you know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, I'm shaking off the shackles that have bound you for so long, my daughter. I didn't understand this. But when He spoke those words, and it was like an audible voice that said it to me, and I'm here shaking, and I hear this, I'm shaking off the shackles that have bound you for so long, my daughter. I was bound in the lies. My heart was not liberated. I was bound in the lies of I'm not good enough. I was bound in the lies of I'm always going to be this scared, little, intimidated Mary. I was the most shyest person in my school. I was afraid for teacher to even call on me. I never even wanted to raise my hand because I was afraid that I would get the answer wrong all the time. Yet I made really good grades because I had to be a perfectionist to make people like me. Lies. Lies. Lies of the enemy. Lies of the enemy. And God wanted to liberate my heart. And it took me years of going through healing. And then God, all of a sudden, through that experience in revival, it's like years that I'd gone through counseling, just like that, the Lord drastically healed, brought healing to my heart. Now, I've gone through even other steps since then and learned greater realms in the Spirit. But God can do it just like that. God can do it. In Jeremiah, God knew how to change their character, and He knew how to change their hearts so that those people, the Israelites, who had completely, they like gone off the rails in worshiping these idols and all these other things, they turned their backs on God. He knew, drawing them in, that they would come to a place where they would come back to Him. And that's what God desires, for us to come back to Him. And how beautiful it is to the ears of God when He hears the weeping of our hearts to be set free. Amen? To be set free. How beautiful it is when He hears the repentance of His children. One of my friends, David Edwards, you can find him on Facebook, he's amazing, went to Bible college with him. He's he wrote a book called The Call for Revivalists. And he is actually rewriting it. It's coming out with his second edition. And I love one of the quotes that he said, a life of fullness is one that's fully saved, fully healed, and fully delivered. It's a life restored to the image of God. Amen? Let me say that again. A life of fullness is one that is fully saved, fully healed, and fully delivered. It's a life restored to the image of God. Genesis 1:27, we're all made in the image of God.
All of a sudden getting tickled in my throat.
But we're all made in the image of God. All of us. And we go through life. We go through life, we're all like pipes. We're all like pipes. And as we grow up as little kids, you know, we're like free, happy, and everything. You know, you saw my daughter, and there's another one just dancing freely. My son trying to climb on the stage during worship. You know, they're just free. They don't care. They're just free. We all go through life, you know, as children, we're free. We're free until things happen, till stuff happens. And we're like pipes. And when the stuff happens, the inside of our pipes begin to get eroded. Erosion begins to happen. But before that erosion happens and we're just free, the Holy Spirit can just move through us. And that's why oftentimes, have you ever heard of children, you know, they have more of an eye into the Spirit. They can see things. My daughter, how old was Faith? 4 years old, I think it was. You know, she was just like, Mommy, Mommy, look, look. And I was like, what are you seeing? And she's like, look at him, look at him. And she was laughing and waving. And I was like, you're seeing an angel. You're seeing an angel. And several of my kids, that's happened to them. And then stuff begins to happen and our pipes get eroded and it's harder for the Holy Spirit to flow through us. Because we begin to hold on to the lies that the enemy speaks to us. We hold on to the lies and we take them to heart. And then we begin to believe those lies, that that is who we are. And then we take on a false identity. We take on a false identity. And the devil says, aha, I've got them now. They're never going to raise up to be what God has called them to be. But you know what? Even that is a lie. Because the kingdom of God is here, and the kingdom of God is now, and in the kingdom of God, he can break those lies off. When you step out in the faith and you begin to choose to believe who God really is in you. Who he is in you. When Jesus came to the earth, he set his deity on us so that he could take our humanity upon himself. He gave us the tools. Raise your hands and say, I've got the tools to overcome. Thank you, Jesus, for my tools to overcome. Thank you, Jesus, that I have all power and authority in you because of your kingdom that lives in me. I am not of this world. I'm of your kingdom. Amen. I'm of your kingdom. Hallelujah. Through intimacy, our hearts grow in greater freedom. God wants to take us to that place of intimacy. How many desire more of God? I know I do. I can raise my hand and fully say, I desire even more of God. You know, one thing I've been contemplating lately, and I was discussing it with our friends in Maine. It's really awesome. This may sound foreign to you guys, but That church in Maine, they go to places like Edinburgh, Scotland, and go to up to Salem, Oregon, and they set up booths, and they invite people in, and they call it reading booths, because it's all New Age stuff going on. And they will have warlocks and witches and different people come in and get readings, and they will get readings. But what they're doing is prophesying to them, because the kingdom of God is with them. It's in the here and now, and they're reaching up, and they're grabbing words, and they are prophesying into them. And they're getting stuff that these people are like, how did you know that about me? Even the mediums, the other ones, the palm readers and stuff didn't even know that about me. We have the power. The kingdom of God is here and now. It's here and now. And God wants to take us to those places. And what the enemy is using, even in the occult and different things like that, what the enemy does in those realms, you know, it's just counterfeits for the real thing. It's counterfeits for the real thing. There's so many levels to the Spirit of God, the spiritual realm of the Father, where He wants to take us. Yet we choose to stay here, and a lot of times it's because we've allowed ourselves to stay in this bubble. Even those of us within the church, we allow ourselves to stay in this bubble of religion, and we think we're not religious. Oh, I go to a non-denominational church, or I go to the Christian church, or I go to this church. Truly, though, we're still caught in a sphere of religion, and we don't even realize it. And God wants to break those chains off of us and set the church of Jesus Christ free. Set His bride on fire. Set His bride into this realm of place, of truth in the world, where we can begin to draw people into who He really is and give them a God encounter every place we go. A God encounter every place we go. A God encounter. How many people this week can say, I've had a God encounter? Amen. Hallelujah. We pray for more God encounters in this church. God wants more. God wants to take you deeper, 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 Lord, deeper, God, deeper, God, deeper, 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 Jesus' name, deeper. God wants to take you deeper. Some of you say, I don't know if I can get to this place. I don't know if I can do this. You don't even know my life. You don't know what I've been through. Let me tell you, God does not care. He sees you as you are, and He sees you beautiful. He sees you beautiful. He sees you worthy because you're His child. You see, we are King's kids. We are King's kids. And you know, back in the day, a king wore a ring, and that's the way he would sign his decrees and things. He would dip that ring in a type of ink, kind of like an ink, and he would stamp it onto the paper, onto the part, the scroll, or what are his decrees. He would stamp it on. And God is taking His ring and stamping it on you. He's stamping it on you and saying, I decree that you are my child, you're my daughter, you're my sons, and I'm giving you the kingdom. I've given you the kingdom, and it lives inside of you. All power. Amen. Belongs to you, because it belongs to me, because I've got the keys to hell, He says. And we are a victorious church, and we fight from a place of victory towards greater victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. I want you guys to all stand to your feet. many of you raised your hands that you're crying out for more of God. If that's your desire to go deeper in God, you know, before we go there, let me ask this. Is there anyone in this place that's never given their heart to God? And you desire to give your life to the Lord today? Raise your hand if that's you. Raise your hand. If you desire to give your heart to God today and you've never given your life to Jesus, raise your hand. All right, let's move on. Some of you in this place, you're crying out, God, take me deeper. And you're having a frustration saying, how do I get to this place? I've longed for this, but sometimes I open up the word and I can't even hear you speak. How many of you can say, that's me, and I want more? If that's you, I want you to come down here. We're going to pray for you today. We're going to pray for you today. I want you just to begin to lift your hands and cry and begin to just pray and thank God, not ask Him, because He wants to give it to you. Begin to thank Him for more revelation, more of Him. And we're just going to pray. We're going to begin to we'll just pray for them. Begin to just, you know, lift your voices and begin to pray. Lift your voices and begin to pray. Pray, pray, pray. God, I want more of You. 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 More, more, more. Take me to those places. Deeper, deeper, deeper in You, Jesus. Deeper, deeper, deeper in You. Deeper in You. More, 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 more. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. More of You, Jesus. More of You, Jesus.